Hello and welcome to the Contracting Officer Podcast. You're listening to the podcast for people who want to learn about the government market from the contracting officer's perspective. If you are a contracting officer, we hope to give you a little more insight into industry's perspective. Our mission is to make government contracting better, one contract at a time. Today's episode is part two of our discussion with Michael Fischetti, the Executive Director of the National Contract Management Association. As part one wrapped up, we were discussing the merits of training generalists versus specialists and the challenges the Defense Acquisition University has in training contracts professionals. In part two, we discussed different types of training rather than just FAR specific training that may benefit the contracting profession. Okay, let's pick it up where we left off.
Yeah. And that's why at NCMA, we're really big on this contract management body of knowledge, CMBOK. You know, we're looking at a professional standard, and that's not applicable to just federal employees, but applicable to anyone doing this procurement. No one's going to be expert in the five or six competencies you outline in there, but one of them is actually business. And I can say, having gone through a majority of my career was in government, you know, I would have liked to have known a little more about what a marketing department does in a company, or, you know, reading financial statements or industry prospectuses and understanding that whole end of the business. Because, you know, that's the criticism they'll always throw. Well, government people don't realize, I got cash flow. You know, if you guys are going to not pay my invoices for months on end, or, you know, your budget authority is running out and we don't know what we're doing next month, let alone next year, I can't run an operation like that. I can't have a bunch of people hanging around waiting for that award to come in. So, you know, all those sorts of things, you know.
I'm right with you. We say that every week they didn't teach me that when I was a contracting officer.
Yeah, I had a contract for a vehicle, and the company tells me about, I don't know, 3/4 of the way through the process because we were having trouble getting them paid. And he says, dude, I'm having to factor this thing. We're talking about math now? What happened? I had no idea what factoring was, because they don't teach you that. Yeah. Why would they, right? Yeah. But we'll have to do a podcast about what factoring is and how it affects people's cash flow. And it's a more expensive way. And it is the right way for some people. But the point is, he was complaining, this is costing me a lot of money because I haven't gotten paid yet. And what he thought I would understand was, this is factoring. It's a problem. And I had no idea.
Let's go back to the contract management body of knowledge. So the CMBOK right now, there's the five pieces of it. There's pre-award contracting. That's one. Number two is acquisition planning and strategy. Three is post-award. Four is specialized knowledge areas. So that's whether it's R&D or IT or systems acquisition or services. And then the fifth one, like you said, is business. And you learn a whole lot about the first four, but like you just said, maybe the business piece is the piece that can benefit the profession the most that's not been emphasized in the past. But when we were talking earlier, Mike, you said the CMBOK is actually evolving.
Right. The business piece was only version 4, the one we now have out there. And we've started this spring, we've started a job analysis where we actually go out and we do ask contract managers, what do you do every day? What are your tasks? And, you know, and then we take all that survey information, and then that determines what's in the body of knowledge, because that's what they're doing. So that must mean what they need to know. And so this business was only added last time. I can envision our next version, which will be out, you know, in a year or so or less. We'll probably hear more about program management or actual interpersonal skills. You know, where is that? You know, all of us can easily probably say, what was the most important thing you needed to know? Well, If you're one of those COs that, you know, the program manager walks into the room and you talk to the hand, you know, throw it on the stack, I'll get to it when I get with, you know, if you have donuts at your meeting, you might move up the stack, but otherwise, you know, I'm buried in paperwork and, you know, bring me the rock, you know, go back and, you know, have you read the regulations? Well, market research is a program responsibility. Go back and go do the market research, you know, go write your AP. I don't move until I see the PR and the AP in a pretty bow tied on my desk. That's not obviously where we are today in contracting. So those skills of developing a team, you know, bring in legal and engineering and logistics and the CO, everybody together, senior leadership, being able to sell, you know, support your program managers the best you can. Those are key skills that are probably not well discussed in government procurement training literature, let alone, and we'll see more of that in NCMA, my prediction.
So here's a random one. Do you think that we'll ever do training on sales? Because when you said selling, I remember how many times I had to convince somebody that this is the right way to do this acquisition, even though it's not the way we did it last time, and even though it's not the way that most people want to do it, here's what's going to happen. And that skill set, because, you know, I'm an entrepreneur, right? So I was taking sales courses just because that's what I do, and it I got good at it. But that's another one of those funny ones. If you told a contracting officer, you should take a sales course once a year.
You really ought to have that. I
write that down.
We had a and it might be a subset of interpersonal. One of our most popular breakouts at last year's World Congress was one gentleman, Jim McCarthy. I don't know if you know him, but he did one on the contracting officer as a business developer. You know, he tied in business development with the contract manager because, you know, you're the one probably interacting with your counterpart mm-hmm. in mm-hmm. government or industry. And, you know, you're representing your company or your organization. And, you know, it's more than just technical T's and C's. You know, you're an image of the company. And so you want it to be positive and positive experience and being able to understand and meet their customers' requirements and all that. So, yeah, I think so.
For a podcast.
There's a book. Daniel Pink wrote a book about. Your everything in life is selling.
What is that? Yeah, you're always, life is selling. Is that what it is?
Something like that. Great book, but you are selling your view on the acquisition plan.
Well, if you're in any managerial capacity, even in government, of course, or industry, you're probably internally selling your role all the time. You know, mm-hmm. like here's I'm from contracts, and you know, well, sure, guys, go type it up. You know, let me know how it works, and us big boys.
Oh, you're from contracts.
Here they come. You know, they're gonna tell me what's wrong. You know, but you know, you're selling your role. You know, and obviously, if it's you know, if you've done a good job, and they are, you know, you are at that key decision leader at the table. You know, better products will ultimately result. You know, so.
Yeah, and one of the sayings is the sales is not a manipulation; it's a harmony, and that's mindset of we're not talking about used car salesmen tricking you into buying stuff. We're talking about selling people on the idea of let's find the integrated solution that works for everybody. And at the going back to the podcast, all about the contract level, right? When you have one contract with one customer, one program manager, one industry that are all trying to get their needs met, that's. It's a combination of negotiation and sales because you're trying to harmonize that. That's really what a contract does is it harmonizes it between the guy who needs it and the guy who can make it.
Right.
That's really what we're doing here.
Yeah. Key, one of the reform initiatives in recent years, it was the development of the IPT. You know, remember that mm-hmm. it really promoted.
Integrated product team, for those of you who are checking our acronyms.
Yeah. Yeah. Integrated product team. I thought, you know, well, I don't know if they needed to make it so.
Long
technical or government sounding, but you know, team is the key word.
There, there we go. Let's shorten that one.
The first two words are super
acquisition team, you know. So, rather than creating a term which probably created a whole level of coursework, but you know, it was all about getting people together in the room and and any management theory you read in recent years, you know, in the future business world is. Bringing people together and working collaboratively. No one's the expert. Anybody can look up. And, you know, of course, nowadays, anybody can, you know, search on a word in the FAR and probably read the language and probably reasonably understand what the regulations are saying. So the days of, any, you know, to the extent they existed, a contracting manager walking around being the walking FAR, you know, ask Joe, he'll just quote verbatim, you know, you're talking small business. Well, you know, you're going to have to do this and this and this. And then there's a certificate of competency. And, you know, anybody can look that up off their phone. Yeah, you don't even have to, you know, you can just Google the word and probably a FAR site will come up. So I think, you know, now, of course, it's about collaboration and teamwork and working together and all that stuff.
So collaboration and teamwork, it's not just within the government team or the industry team. This is one of the reasons that the podcast exists is to try to help these sides understand each other a little better, right? So part of being able to work as a team and this is on a major system, it's a program team. The government and the contractor have to cooperate as a team to deliver a capability to the users. Part of it is understanding the viewpoints of the other members of the team. And that's something where the government and the industry, I think from an education standpoint, the ways that they're educated are much different. And if we can bring a little more harmony into the words they use and the way that they interact, and if the government folks understand the thing, like you were talking about, what did you say, factoring, Kevin?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If government folks understand what that is, and if industry understands why it takes so long for a purchase request to work its way through the system, you end up with a better result at the end. And that I think that part was largely missing from the education I got. Somebody mentioned before. Did we say EWI? Education with Industry used to be the military program where they'd put an officer in a commercial company to learn how the company does does that. I don't know that I ever saw an industry person come work in a government office to learn how the government does business. But those programs still exist where corporations bring in government employees to show them what the other side is like. And I think that, to me, that's a huge benefit to both sides to help spread that knowledge each way.
Yeah, I left government and went to industry and came back to government later. But, you know, in effect, as I look back on it, I kind of had my own little individual development plan. I didn't realize it at the time, you know, but you know, I really did get a great sense of industry. I was able to work in a company, and it was a company that did manufacturing, a lot of black world stuff. We, you know, we built things, you know, and all kinds of cool stuff that, you know, exposed me to different elements of the industry. You know, they had manufacturing and engineering and different offices and program management. And you know, so I, and being on the other side of the table, working with a government contracting officer. So it really was an invaluable experience. And I think one thing good about NCMA is we try to bring that together. You know, you are sitting together with your industry or government counterparts, and, you know, that's that whole neutral forum thing. And you get hopefully better understanding of each other so that when you are sitting across the table or in a business transaction that, you know, you understand where they're coming from.
But I'd be a much better CEO today if I were to go back to the government, having experienced the other side of administering and writing proposals and all those things.
And you bring up a good point. I was thinking about one of our tenets on the NCMA does with learning and networking is advocacy. You know, and we at my level, we tend to, you know, we try to meet with OFPP and, you know, DPAP and all the hot SPEs that are on our board of advisors.
The three-letter acronyms.
Yeah, my HCA, SPE / CAOs.
By a vowel.
Anybody else I can? Yeah. but at the same time, we're all advocates. Every 1102, every contract manager, anybody doing this work, of course, is an advocate for the profession itself. You know, so if you're doing top-notch work for your customer the best you can, that's the best advocacy. And that'll raise our stature and get you the resources. Maybe, you know, if you've got a good rapport with your customer or program manager or boss, you know, of course, you know, when it's time to, hey, I really could use some of this training. I think I'd be better at this. They respect you, you know, they'll find a way.
So instead of when you walk in the room, they, contracts is here. Maybe we can get to the point that people cheer. Yay.
Yeah. He's here. Yay. Here. Contracts here. Did you bring your farm? Please go get it. We'll wait.
I got it on my phone. Yeah. The basic concept of how do they say that? People and resources are drawn to a quest for excellence. It's a big, wide open statement, right? I got, by the way, Rick Baker, former mayor of the city of St. Pete, wrote a book. Anyway, great speaker, but that's where I got that. I got credit. We'll take that and put it at the contract level. If the program manager and the customer and the finance people and the contractor all know that we're trying to solve this problem, we're trying to find this harmony, that's the quest for greatness. And so any training that shows that communication, whether it's sales training or it's FAR training, it doesn't matter. But the point is, we're all trying to get to the same place. And I think that's the message that you don't see that clearly until you see the other side's perspective. And that's why I just want to wrap a bow around this idea of why both sides need to understand each other. You're just trying to get great.
Yeah, we need contracting. We need to be viewed as a part of the solution, not a mountain to be surmounted, you know, to be climbed. You know, okay, we're all ready to go. Okay, let's take it to contracting and start working that. You know, that's totally backwards.
We took great offense was it Norm Augustine last year that issued his famous quote there in his keynote presentation that from his point of view, he's always said contracts is the epoxy in the gears of progress. and Kevin and I took great offense at that. But we realized that, you know what? That is the view.
That's his opinion. That's
the vast
his view.
Majority. Yeah. I would say the vast majority of people outside the contracting profession go, all right, now we're going to give it to contracts and it's going to take 3 weeks. And I don't know why it would take that long. All they have to do is sign this. So if you help, if you provide that service in a way that you know, what delights the customer, that's what you need to do. Mm-hmm. It raises the whole profession. It ends that, contracts, really?
Yeah, and that FAR 15 was rewritten to try to address that sort of ivory tower contracting officer view, you know, that, you know, again, bring me the rock. I didn't think it needed to be written, quite frankly. I thought, you know, a good contracting officer that's looking for solutions, not ways of avoiding or delaying or is part of the issue. So, but to that point too, that I think that gets the other part is the contracting officer so overwhelmed, so much work going on, so many requirements coming in and not resourced enough to do them proper justice. So, you know, to their defense, you know, they really need some help. And that's where the whole program team could do a lot of help. You know, working together again, you know.
I agree. I mean, that, Kevin, we always say that's the thinking part of the job.
Yeah.
Right.
And one of the big communication pieces is what does a program manager need to do? I remember the first time I had them explain to me that, well, the FNDR, the fielding and deployment release, is going to take X number of days. He's got his own and again, it's, this is for buying $50 million worth of medical equipment for Special Operations Command. So it's a bit more complicated. But the point is, every person in this process has their challenges. But for some reason, unless you take the time to become program management certified through some other means, we're not incentivized to learn what our counterparts are doing.
Yeah.
And that's the point of today's conversation is how do we do that?
Right. I don't know if you guys, you know, on Saturday nights, if, you know, in between drinks, you might be reading the court cases of, you know, GS.
Every Saturday.
That's what I figured. Yeah. You look dedicated.
But you look dedicated.
You read these things about like a GAO protest decision or what have you. And you just can't. The first thing I always wondered is like, how did they get to this point? You know, I mean, clearly this was the right, you know, decision, but. Couldn't they have settled this up? So it probably has a lot to do with what we're talking about, teaming, personalities, you know, after a while it's ego, you know, I'm not going to let him win. You know, we're going to the mat on this one kind of thing.
Couldn't have said it better.
And you're, it's funny, you said your point about being able to look up regulations on your phone. So we have the ability to see other people's perspective. So we can train them relatively, I don't want to say easily, but easier on what the program manager, what the customer, what factoring is, right? Yeah. But then get that out of the way. Now you know what their concerns are. Now you have a reason to talk about it.
Which you brought up a good point about critical thinking. You know, the point is everybody can get the information. You know, we can probably find the site that supports a variety of decisions, but it's that critical thinking part of how you take policy from OFPP and the latest DOD, you know, letter that came out from Mr. Assad to this new FAR change. And then there's, you know, internal agency policy. And then there's common practice in the office. And then the proposal says this or that. Merging, and then the source selection plan said this, but Section M, for whatever reason, didn't quite say the same thing. And you know, how do
that
we
never
you know,
happens.
How do we merge all that together to make the right judgment and decision? You know, and that's critical thinking. You know? Yeah. And then supporting it. And make sure you write it down, because if you need to defend it, it's good to have that
document,
support there.
Document.
And don't forget to document.
So to your point about all the pieces of regulation that stack up during the acquisition, in the end, the contracting officer has to figure out how to do something, how to get the job done, despite all of these levels, despite these huge brains trying to solve the biggest procurement policy issues. In the end, it's up to a contracts person to wade through all that and still get something done. And that's actually what Kevin and I are talking about this year at the NCMA World Congress. That's our theme is the power of do, which is just get it. How do you get it done despite everything else there? Yes, you have to be educated in all these things. You have to understand all that stuff well enough to still figure out how to actually get something done. Because otherwise, you could easily become paralyzed by
paralysis analysis.
Yeah.
It gets back to leadership and you know, it gets back to knowledge, critical thinking, you know, teamwork, and, you know, salesmanship and knowing how to get work done, leadership and forcefulness. And I think what I find in a lot of programs, what I see is sometimes there's that vacuum, you know, well, that's your job. No, that's your job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, well, you know, it's nobody's job. And the next thing you know, we've lost weeks or months or, you know, when again, going back to some of the things you read about overruns or, you know, some of the more notorious examples of a government program failure, like, you know, let's throw it out there, Affordable Care Act, where they, you know, one of the first primary lessons learned was there was no program manager. You know, nobody was in charge, you know, you know, wow. You know, I got to, you know, they teach that in DAU. I know they teach that at DAU, but, you know, isn't that something you kind of have to know going in, even if you didn't, oh, darn, if I had gone to the DAU class, I would have known that, you know? So I think, you know.
That what happened to the affordable? Oh, let's not get into
that. No. It's just one, but, you know.
Cliff right there. I'm looking over.
I think we can all relate to things in our own world where probably stronger leadership or a different decision, or if these two folks had gotten along or whatever, you know, it's a lot of times it's the impersonal or the, you know, the personal factors that get in the way. And a lot of program failures, you know, that are attributed to the contracting officer, you know, it took too long, the protest process, whatever. Well, how many years or months did it take to get the approvals to even go forward to even issue an RFP or to get that funding stream going? And how many chop cycles does it take? Or how many people outside the FAR that are actually involved in the process? How many names are on that acquisition plan that maybe don't even belong there, you know, to sign off on it, you know, you need finance, you need legal, you need the, you know, the PM and you need the contracting officer. After that, it gets kind of, you know, the rest is gravy. But a lot of people need to weigh in. A lot of people are responsive. I think it was a recent DOD example. A high-level official was talking about this new Thornberry Act, and they talked about the school bus where many a program is kind of like everybody's on the school bus. Everybody has a steering wheel and a brake pedal. And so anybody can steer the program and run it off course or stop it. And then when the bus crashes, the program manager and or maybe the contracting officer are kind of standing. They're the only ones.
They're the ones
holding the bag. Like, right. How did this bus crash? Well,
you were in the driver's seat.
Yeah,
but everybody else also had a steering wheel, right, and a brake.
And having been in that world, I can attest to that.
That's a great visual. That is great.
Yeah.
Half the people with the steering wheels and the brakes have blindfolds on.
and it's funny, a big part of this is the ability to make decisions and honestly the confidence to make decisions. So going back to the power of do is what makes things get done is that somebody just has to decide. And going back to your point, you need to document your decision and move out and own it. And we talk about that a lot, the idea of once you've justified what you're doing in your mind with the information you have and the schedule you have, you can't wait for a perfect answer. And that's the part where people outside of the cycle, they need to understand that this is the information we had a year ago. Yeah. And we made this decision. Turns out now, whoops. Yeah. But you, if you wait for all the information, I think that's one of the reasons that as a contracting officer, I remember doing that. I'd sit there and go, but if I look at one more part, if I look under one more rock, or yeah, if I ask one more of my peers, or if I ask one more person what their opinion is, it's that whole thing of every time you ask for an opinion, you get one. And you keep tweaking what you're doing. And you, at some point, it's that I love the quote. I'm all about quotes. You guys know me. Steve Jobs quote of real artists ship. Yeah. Means that you just got to stop tinkering and move. And it's very easy as a contracting officer, particularly when you're kind of covering your eyes going, oh, I got to sign this thing. You always feel like I can't check under every rock. Yeah. And the industry and associations and everybody needs to understand that it's better to make a decision. What's another patent quote? What is it? It's better to make a good decision now instead of a perfect decision, you know, a year from now.
Did you guys ever use that old good old standby of I don't look good in stripes. I'm not going to jail because you want to do this or that, you know.
Kevin's was, do you want to sign it?
Yes.
I have to sign it. You're not allowed to sign it, right?
Yeah, that's a polarizing statement to make when you slide it across the desk and go, then you sign it. Yeah,
for the record, I'm not aware of many folks that have gone to jail.
Yeah, exactly.
Different acquisition strategy.
That's a good one to fact check. I don't think anybody ever has, honestly.
But you know, this is a hard profession. It's a very difficult, complex job, sometimes overwhelming, sometimes almost impossible for all the reasons we've talked about. You know, to me, the best thing is to get yourself as educated as you can. If you're a real professional, and that's what we promote at NCMA, is to constantly be trying to improve yourself through a variety of means. And like you said, different learning works for different people. I think, you know, the days of sitting in rooms for, you know, droning on, you know, or sitting in the classroom in the upper decks, perhaps, you know, writing notes furiously in your spiral notebook while the professor kind of provide. I think those days are not, I think we have different kind of educational models. This podcast is a great example. And so the future, I think, is very different. But at NCMA, we're all about setting those standards. So we have standards for certification and qualifying people, and we're actually moving into qualifying organizations as well for that provide training. So, I think the profession is great. I loved it. It's a great career. If you don't like what you're doing now, find a different agency or a mission that you can really empathize with and go work for them, you know.
Environment. Yeah, there's opportunity everywhere.
That's a great.
There's never enough of us. Never will be.
Exactly. That's a great point to wrap this up.
So just as a heads up, some of the acronyms that we've collectively threw out that are new to the podcast, for example, what does SMBOK stand for?
Contract Management Body of Knowledge. It's a trademarked body of knowledge from NCMA.
Okay. What does DPAP stand for?
Defense Procurement and Acquisition Policy Office, currently held by Acting Rear Admiral Coetzee. Prior to that, Dick Jimmin, by the way, he's our chair at World Congress.
Nice.
Look at that. What does OFPP stand for?
Office of Federal Procurement Policy. Is this a test?
It is. Isn't this fun?
And for the record, everybody out there, I don't have any notes.
He's doing it blind. It's really funny.
Come on, Google. Go faster, faster.
Are you down with OFPP?
Oh, yeah. Down with OFPP. There's a joke.
Under the OMB.
Yes. Which is Office of Management and Budget, right?
Right. Housed in the EOP, Executive Office Building. EOP, nice. Sorry.
For those people that don't live in D.C., those are not terms that I
fun with acronyms. I can hear people right now like
fast forwarding through our content.
Not fast forward, just stop. All right, I'm done with this one.
So where's the best place to find out more about you? If somebody wants to learn about you more.
www.ncmahq.org. Okay. Give us a call or send me an email. Happy to talk and talk about what we're talking about today.
Okay. And you're on LinkedIn and all those kind of places.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Very cool. Well, we appreciate you coming on. This has been fun.
You guys are great. I appreciate what you're doing for the profession. You're really bringing it out there to a new kind of audience and in a new kind of way, which we haven't seen before. Really good luck to you all.
Thanks. We appreciate that. We love that you, the very first people to reach out to us when we started podcasting was you.
Yeah. You're doing something new and different, I think, and it's unique. And I think that's what's great for this profession. It shows that we are evolving and current with the times and I've said it before. I don't know if you guys, I call you all the Mike and Mike of government contracting.
That's one of our little taglines we'll have to do something with.
Hey, did he just insult us or is that a...
No, I think that was a
very, very popular talk show.
So how far are the Wizards going to go? No, sorry.
Yeah, I'm totally unqualified to speak on that topic.
Again, thanks so much for coming on the podcast with us, Michael and Kevin.
This is always fun. See you next time.
Yeah. All right, that's it for part two of our interview with Michael Fischetti, the Executive Director of the National Contract Management Association. At this point, we should mention that NCMA's World Congress is coming up. This is NCMA's largest training event of the year, be held in Dallas, Texas from July 26th to 29th. If you're interested, the event website is ncmaworldcongress.org. Don't forget to let us know how you feel about the podcast. Go to contractingofficerpodcast.com. Hit the contact button and let us know what you think. Thanks for listening.